your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Gathering Radio Show. I'm Stephanie, and today is Wednesday, and I have...
It's not Wednesday. and this is Heidi, and it's Tuesday.
Oh my God.
And welcome to The Gathering on the Para-X Network. Well, I'll take over stuff. Don't worry.
You should have taken over the opening, Heidi. You know, I'm just a little discombobulated today. Okay, it's Tuesday. Well, you know, lack of sleep will do that to you.
Because we've been busy.
We have been busy.
And that's what we wanted to talk about tonight, is just everything that we've had going on, everything that we've been working on, some things that we have coming up.
Yep.
It's been wild and woolly and crazy and awesome and fun.
And I want to know what happened. I thought summers were supposed to be lounging in the hammock in the backyard with your feet up and your hat over your face so you can go to sleep. And, well, I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
I haven't had one of those for a long time.
I know.
Like summers. I haven't had one of those summers for a long time.
I just feel like, you know, we're busier now than we are in the wintertime, which is unusual, I think. You know, I don't know.
It's really weird. And what's really interesting, because we were looking at schedules just a minute ago, because we're trying to fit stuff in. And you said something about August, and I know I've got like one opening in August that I could possibly do something. And I might actually use it as a day off. I don't know. We'll see. And then you said September, and I just instantly like said no. I'm like, no.
No.
September, no. Like, well, why didn't even tell you what day? I'm like, it doesn't matter. I know my September is already full, and my October, and into the beginning of November. Like, don't ask me about a date in any of those, especially evenings and weekends. They're all full. Like, all of them already. It's nuts.
Speedily. And I have to have some weekends to take care of my yard. Look at my yard. It's just, you know, normally my backyard is my pride and joy. And not this year, let me tell you. It needs so much work.
If you keep letting it go, we can actually look for Bigfoot back there.
We probably can. Yes.
So save us a drive.
That's maybe he would like it back there. It's very wooded and it's, you know, just beautiful and, you know, it could happen. Oh, well, you know. So we have to schedule that kind of stuff too. But yeah, it has been just crazy the last few months. So oofta is what I'll say.
A lot of paranormal stuff. Paranormal and Bigfoot and all the stuff that we're into, that seems to be what's taking up all the slots. It's not like I've been goofing around or anything. Well, so,
and there's so much travel with Squatchers right now because, you know, we were just up in Reamer this last weekend, and then the first weekend of August will be up, and I know you can't make it that weekend because you already had a pre-scheduled vacation, but we're going to be up north for a weekend, and then the first weekend of September, we're all going to Kentucky for CryptidCon, which will be so fun!
That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait for that one, and then we'll also check out the Popelik Monster that we talk about on this show quite often. So the last night we're there, we're going to stay close to the Popelik Trestle so that we can do an investigation, all of us there. So it'll be fun to find what we find, you know?
See what we find.
We'll put all of our paranormal investigator hats on, you know?
And maybe Bigfoot hats.
Maybe Bigfoot. You never know. Maybe.
What do they call Bigfoot down there?
Well, down in Virginia, they call him the booger, the wood booger.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
But they call him, a lot of times they call him the skunk ape down there. But I think in Kentucky there's a different name that they have for him too. But the wood booger is my favorite because that's such a weird name.
So weird.
It is weird. And that's like right on the border of Tennessee and Kentucky and Virginia. So I'm sure that goes into Kentucky as well. But yeah, the wood booger.
So speaking of, what of, you know, as we're doing our catch everyone up on our adventures and what we've been working on. That's what we were working on this weekend.
We had a really good time. So every year there's a small town in Minnesota. It's about 3 hours or so north of the Twin Cities. It's up in the Chippewa Forest, which is where we love to go because there's a lot of activity there. And they call themselves the home of Bigfoot. Google it. You'll see it. And so about 3 years ago, I think this was the third one. So 2 years ago, they started this annual Bigfoot Days Festival. And we were there right from the beginning. You know, they first started it out. They had the Finding Bigfoot people were there. So Matt Moneymaker and Renee and Cliff and Bobo were all there. They were actually filming one of their episodes, and they were up there for like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. They were up there for a long time. And so that was the first year. And then we were there last year. And so, of course, we're just going to keep going back because it keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And it was much bigger this year, I think, than it was last year even. You know, there seemed to be a lot more people. And this year we actually had a booth. So we put up our booth right on the corner of Main Street and right across from the Bigfoot gas station. And it was awesome. It was right in front of the old fire hall, and people could find us, and we were right in the action, and we had a lot of people come by.
I was surprised at how many people were there. Like, you think, it's a small town.
Yes.
It's a really small town.
Yes.
And it was kind of spread out for how small the town was. I would have thought it would have been a little bit more localized with all the booths kind of near each other, but really mm-hmm. they kind of had a spread out night. I wonder if that was also to help the businesses.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So that you have to kind of go past all these businesses to get to one booth or another. Mm-hmm. And it was busy.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of people that come around and check it out. Mm-hmm. There was people from, I mean, we had the Dakotas and Iowa and Canada. I mean,
I know.
It was, they were coming from all over the place.
They were. And we had several people that had messaged us before or sent us emails asking things came there to see us, which was really fun. And we had some people who had actually seen, there was some news service out of, I don't even know where, got a hold of the story about us and that we were going to be there. And so this news service passed this, it was like a 3-paragraph story, and there were probably 15 newspapers in northern Minnesota, and you know, down here, it was in the Pioneer Press one weekend, and it was on MSN.com. It was quite amazing, and I had nothing to do with it, so that makes it even funner. But we had some people who had seen that news article in the Pioneer Press who actually just came up for the day so that they could meet us and talk to us all about Bigfoot. So, yeah, we had a lot of people who traveled really a long way to come and see us, which is, it's very flattering, I gotta say.
It was really cool, because they came to see us.
Yes,
and we're like,
us.
What? Yeah. Like, how do you even know about us?
Right? And then the truth unfolded. Oh, we saw this article in the Pioneer Press, and it was a 3-paragraph thing, and you know, whatever. And it was very fun.
It was cool. And there was people that would come up to the booth, and they would talk to us, and they would talk about what we've been doing. And I'm like, oh, and they said, oh, I've been following you on Facebook.
Yes.
Like, really? That's so weird. Cool, but weird. Because, you know, here's people you don't know, and they know all about us and what we're working on.
Exactly who we are, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So, yeah, it was very fun. And we had a little presentation. We talked about some of the things that we found and our stick structure quadrant that we're just so enthralled with that we keep going back to. And then we pulled up a couple of people out of the audience that had come to see us at our booth that mm-hmm. had stories. And you know, that one guy, I keep thinking about that one younger guy that was camping just outside, you know, right in back of where we were actually. Didn't he say it was right on the edge of town, or it was right downtown? And he heard something.
I think he was in a camper because he had a generator camper. Or something, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, and he heard something, and he thought it was Bigfoot, and oh my, he was so excited, and he was just all over the place when he was talking to us at the booth, and so we brought him up there, and he was the same way up there, and he was just so enthusiastic. He was very fun to listen to.
It was really cool. What was interesting about his story, too, is how, because he was hearing some noise that he couldn't identify, and it was loud enough to be heard over a generator in his sleep.
Yes.
And he was sleeping, and this growly animal-type noise was loud enough to be heard over the generator while he was sleeping.
Yeah.
It woke him up, and the generator was running.
Yes.
Close to him. He wasn't, like, far away from it. Yeah. So that, I thought, was interesting, because that had to be something that was really powerful.
Yeah, because he went outside, right, and he was listening to it, and it went on for a little while, I believe he said. And he said he was posting it all on Facebook because he wanted to know if anybody that was there might have heard it also.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he ever got, we should have kept in contact with him because it would be fun to know if anybody ever came up to him after the talk and said they heard the same thing. But what else was interesting also, Heidi, and I have not told you this, but the Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team, Abe is the head of that, and then my friend Michael Nexum is on that team too. And Michael there was telling me that they were going out that night. They were taking like 7 people out. They do this occasionally for cash, you know. And anyway, and, you know, he was so funny because he said he didn't really want to do that, you know. And I said, well, you know, he just wasn't looking forward to it. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe it'll be fun. And so I'll be darned that, you know, and he's told me this multiple times. He was really funny and during the day. And then on Sunday morning when I was coming home, he had messaged me and he said, oh, Steph, we had some great activity last night when we were out there. And he didn't pinpoint where they were. I didn't ask. But he said that they had heard knocks and they had heard what they thought were, oh my goodness, my phone is just ringing like mad. Sorry. Discombobulating me. So they heard tree knocks and what they thought was talking, you know, like, you know, kind of muttering or a Bigfoot language going on, too. I mean, he was really excited about it.
How far away were they found?
No, he didn't tell me.
Oh, okay. But I can't imagine too far.
No.
Get a group from there.
Yes, because they took about 8 people out, and he said that it was very fun, and they, you know, there was activity, and he said, needless to say, the 8 people they took out were very pleased, well pleased with their time in the woods.
Good for them.
So that was fun, you know, and I said, oh, geez, we should have come with you, you know what I mean? But whatever. So, yeah, so that was fun. So there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on up there.
It was really interesting. And it just, we had talked about this before too, that from the second we started setting up our booth, we weren't set up, but the second we started setting up, people started stopping and asking us and talking to us, and they've seen us and they wanted to get more information about what we were working on because, like you said, in these, the talk that we did with the group, and there was a couple hundred people there.
Yes.
Easy.
Oh, yeah. There was a ton of people there.
I would say maybe even 250.
I think
they were packed in there. But people wanted to hear, you know, about the projects that we were working on.
Yeah.
Because they've seen it on Facebook or whatever. Because we have these two main projects that we're kind of working on, depending on where we can get to, either up north or closer to the cities. And they were all over it. And they just wanted to know. And they were looking at our pictures and asking questions and wanting to know more. And then they'd share their stories and or things that they've seen on the internet. And what do we think about that? And it was really fun.
And they had good questions. That's the thing. They had really serious, good questions. They really wanted to know different things. And so it was very fun to talk to these people. And then we did have some people that had stories that they told us about things that they had seen. And of course, everybody wanted to know where exactly all these things are that we find. And of course, you know, the answer is always, oh, somewhere in the Chippewa National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was, you know, and then they say, well, why won't you tell us? And we, you know, well, it's very clear, you know, we don't want to put Bigfoot in danger, first of all, first and foremost. And the second is we don't want our evidence to be messed with, you know, or the things that we found. Not that they would do that, but you just never know who they might tell.
Right.
And then they might tell somebody else. So there's a lot of reasons why we don't tell and, you know, to keep our safety as well.
Yeah, because we don't need people knowing where we're going to be and then meeting us mm-hmm. out there, and we didn't invite them, and they are not necessarily desirable exactly. to meet in the woods.
Exactly, exactly.
So. I was surprised, though, with a couple of people that asked us where we go, and we wouldn't tell them. They got kind of upset.
They did. I know. I know.
Like, you know, what are you going to, really, like, what are you going to get? Getting mad at me isn't going to make me tell you.
Right.
It makes me really glad that I didn't, though. So. Yes. But I was surprised at how owly people can get mm-hmm. when they don't get what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they really do. And one of the comments I heard, too, was that, you know, the area, one of our favorite places up in the Chippewa Forest, it was really funny because these people that had actually come up from St. Paul to see us had actually been driving around that morning, and they were pretty close to where we go, and they said, oh my God, it's just so remote up there, and it's creepy and scary, and I can't believe any girls would go up there and just walk around. And I think, you know what, I don't think it's creepy and scary, but I can see where you would think that if you're, you know, afraid. Right. I mean, there are some weird things that happen up there, as we know.
Well, and we're not exactly alone. I mean, we take proper precautions, and
right.
we have other people that go with us that aren't yes. necessarily investigating, but
yes.
Yeah, so, but it, yeah, it's, it, that was, I was surprised by that because they were truly upset.
Yeah.
I remember one gal, I thought she was going to come over the table. And I thought, okay, here we go.
Oh my.
I'm just going to back up and sprinkle a fairy dust and hope this settles down because I don't need this right now, and it's hot. And but that was funny. And what I thought was really cool is the number of people, and I'm just going to toot our own horns here for a second, the number of people that came up to our booth looking for our T-shirts.
Yes. Yes. Wasn't that awesome sauce? Mm-hmm.
That was
we
cool.
have the best. We have the best gear of all. But what was really funny was that, you know, that T-shirt that I made up for a just kind of
your
a fun
prototype.
One. Yeah, prototype T-shirt. Because one of the things that we have been writing on posters and stuff is, you know, a girl can do what she wants to do because that's what we do, right? And so I had a T-shirt made up that said a girl can do what she wants to. And with Squatchers on the bottom, and that was just for me, and I wanted to know what the girls thought about it. And Heidi, tell what this woman said when she came up to the booth.
Well, she was looking at our flyers and things, and she yeah. said, I love the saying, do you have that on a T-shirt? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, we're going to have it on a T-shirt. Check it out. And I took Stephanie's T-shirt out of the bin that it was hiding in because she had brought it out to show us, and I held it up to her, and she just about launched that over the table to get it. She's like, oh my gosh, that's it, can I buy it? And yeah. I said, absolutely not. Stephanie would kill me if I sold her T-shirt. And I mean, unless she wanted to give us a huge amount of money, I suppose I could have sold her it. She probably would have paid more money than I wanted to sell, but I wouldn't do that either. So I said, you know what, just follow us, you know, or let us know. We'll post on Facebook as soon as they're done. If you need to get one, we'll mail it to you, or you can come yes. to our next event or whatever.
Yes.
So that was really cute because
yeah.
she was like, that's it.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah, so when we get a few of those made up, we will post them on our Facebook page. And we did have several people that asked us after they saw the pictures. I don't know that they were actually at Bigfoot Days, but they saw our pictures with all of us wearing them. And they said, oh, where can we get a T-shirt? You know, and I did have to say we're kind of out of the smaller ones. So when we get them back in, you know, we'll put it on Facebook and then we'll see if we can get some out. But so we'll put those to the A Girl Can Do thing. But yeah, no, it's awesome. I love it.
And the hat's gone.
The hats were gone in a flash. They yep. were just gone. So the hats were really popular too. So we'll have a bunch more made up because soon we'll be in Kentucky at Cryptid Con and people will want them there too.
And the cool thing about the gear is it's stuff that we wear out in the field.
It is.
You know, so it's not like this is, you know, fluffy stuff and then we go out in the field with something else on. I mean, the stuff that we're selling is the stuff that we wear,
yes.
you know, because it's comfortable, it's
yes.
functional, it's, you know, whatever the purpose of it is. So
yeah.
That's, yeah, so it's cool to see, you know.
Mm-hmm. The like, people love it, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
you know, like it's, like you said, Heidi, it's the color that helps us to blend in. To the forest in the summertime, and now in the fall we'll be making some in neon orange, which is what we'll wear in the fall so that we don't get shot by a hunter, you know.
Right.
So
we don't want to get mistaken for a deer
yeah.
or a bear or a Bigfoot
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So
So, yeah. Anywho, but yeah, no, it was fun, and the talk was fun, and it was just a very well spent day. So, looking forward to it again next year, and all these other events that we have two big major ones coming up here. So we have CryptidCon and Paracon, which we all just signed up for in October. So that'll be fun, and I know Lauren Coleman will be back at Paracon this year. So. It'll be fun too. Hopefully, we can get an interview with him, Heidi, for our show. It'll have to be we can play parts of it and then talk about it and whatever. But I'm sure he'll do it.
I think so. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be good to go to Paracon this year and have we'll have the gathering represented because we'll be able to be next to each other this time, so we can have the gathering represented and we'll still be with the Squatchers group and so I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, so we'll push the gathering a little more, and we'll try to get more interviews because, Grant is there, and, Steve Gonzalez, who was on our show, which he said he wanted to be on later this summer, so I should try to get a hold of him, too. But there's so many fun people that are going to be there again, so we'll get some good interviews, I think. Yep. We'll work on it.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, and Paracon's another crushing day because, oh, my God, there's a million people at that, too. But it was amazing that there were that many people at Bigfoot Days. It was twice as many as last year, I think. Snooki, you were there, and you were there both years. Did you think it was much busier than last year? You can type that in I know you're on the chat line. So just let us know what you think. But yeah, it was crazy. It was very fun. And so that's, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, and I'm looking forward to going back. And it was cool, all the people that shared stories. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, Snooki said yes. She thought it was much busier too. So it was fun. And I do like the way they had everybody strung out, because there were some that were like the MNBRT were over by the motel over there. And that's where all the food was by the motel too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, it was fun. Can't wait for next year. Hope we get the same spot because I kind of like that corner spot now. That I think that should be the Squatcher spot.
And we had some shade. Which
we had
nice.
Shade. Yes. Yes.
Nice. Otherwise, I think we would have all passed out.
Oh, my God. Because we were so hot even in the shade.
Yeah, it was warm. But better that than rain.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was really fun. So, what else? So,
you have a trip coming up.
I do. So, on Friday, I'm leaving for Friday Harbor, Washington, which is an island in the San Juan Archipelago. And we go there quite often. I haven't been there for a couple of years, though, now. So I can't wait to go. I'll be sitting on the west side waiting for the whales. And I'm going to go up to the mausoleum up in Roach Harbor. So I'll see what I can find there. And maybe we'll record some things. And maybe we'll have something for the radio show when we get back. We'll see. But, they tell me that ghosts fly after midnight up there at the mausoleum.
So are you going to go at midnight?
Well, you're not supposed to be there after dark.
Oh.
But maybe we can sneak in.
Well,
we have snuck in before. Now we're talking about this on the radio, so I don't know if anybody out there is listening, but here's that crazy broad from the gathering, No, the locals have told me about that place for years, and I didn't even know about it for like, I don't know, we'd been going there for like 15 years before somebody mentioned it. And then Casey and I went there, and oh my God, it's just kind of amazing. It really is amazing. So I'll take a bunch of pictures, maybe we'll do some video and we'll put it on our Facebook page. And but yeah, that's what they say. And the McMillan family is all buried, their remains are in the chairs that sit around this table that are in this big temple. So you never know.
Wait, what?
So there's the mausoleum itself is modeled after Solomon's temple from the Bible. So, it's got the big pillars. It's beautiful. It's in the middle of the woods. You would never imagine this would be there. It's about a mile hike to get there. And they
just
call
a mausoleum by itself.
Yeah. So you go in, it's got big gates around it. And then it's got like steps that go up to it. And it's this magnificent mausoleum. It even has one of the, and it talks about, Solomon, why he built it this way. And one of the pillars is only half there because it stands for life's unfinished business, But it also has this big round stone table. And around it are 7 chairs, maybe. I'm not really sure how many chairs there are. But in the base of each chair are the remains of the family McMillan that actually were the ones that, you know, they had all the lime kilns. They're the one that did Roach Harbor. They really settled much of San Juan Island and actually burnt up most of it, you know, to fuel their lime kilns. But yeah, no, it goes way back. But yeah, so that's where they're all buried. So right there.
Wow.
They're not buried. Their ashes are just in these chairs, you know. Wow. And they say that ghosts fly. So many people have told me that up there. So there's got, I always say there's got to be a little bit of truth in everything, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I would love to go there and do an investigation someday. And I, you know, I bet if, you know, we'd have to have the whole team or at least 3 or 4, you know, and I bet if you ask, they might let you do it, you know.
So can people just go there?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you can go there during the day. You know, it says there's a big sign there that says, you know, you're not supposed to be there after 9 o'clock or sunset or something. I don't know, but you can go there during the day for sure. And before you get there, it's a big cemetery of graves that are like, God, way back from, some of them are in the 1700s, I think. Mm. Whenever they started in with San Juan Island, there are graves there from then. And they're weird looking graves because they have, you know, little picket fences around them. They're spooky looking, spooky as heck. And some of them have wrought iron fences around them, you know, just really super old. And then you go through that cemetery and then you keep going the path and then it's about another mile probably down the path. And then you come to this amazing mausoleum in the middle of nowhere. And they call it Afterglow Vista, because if you're there at a certain time when the sun, we should try to do that. When the sun is setting, they say that it just lights it up so that it looks gold.
Oh.
Maybe we'll try to be there at sunset one night and see if we see that. But yeah,
that would be cool.
Because we take pictures.
Plus, if it's active, it's going to be active.
Whenever. Anytime.
I mean, you don't have to go there at night. People like to go for the thrill factor, but if it's going to be active, it's going to be active anytime.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, unless there's a lot of people, then sometimes it's not as active because everybody's energy kind of knocks, you know, spirit energy kind of out the door. But
yep, I agree. But so, yeah, so it should be active. So maybe we'll do, see what we can find when we're there this year. We'll sit there for a little while.
I know, think that would be the idea.
It's hard to get Casey to sit there for a while, but, you know.
Well, I mean, it would be worth just even for a half an hour. You know, and if you could get there at that perfect time, just to take some pictures of that
glow.
Yeah.
The afterglow. That's cool. Yeah. So anyway, that's the lore of San Juan Island, or one of the, you know, spooky parts of it anyway. So, yeah, so we'll do that. But yeah, I'm hoping to see the whales, hoping to see some friends, hoping to collect myself while I'm out there, because I'm pretty scattered. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, you have the, like you said, the connection with the whales is kind of one of your spirit animals. So really just kind of recentering yourself and getting yourself back to a place where you, you know, we're, like you said, we're kind of scattered. And so to just recenter and, you know, have that spirit animal energy maybe help you reconnect.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Yes. And there's amazing trees out there too.
Oh yeah, I've been there. I've been there once, and it's awesome.
I know. I can't wait to dig my toes into the sand on South Beach. I'm just saying. I'm really looking forward to that. So, and then walking out onto False Bay when the tide's out is always really fun. So there's just tons of fun stuff that we love to do. So it'll be awesome, to say the least. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. So I will not be on the show next week.
No.
Heidi's going to manage without me, and she'll have a guest co-host for the evening. And I don't know what you're going to talk about, but that's a surprise.
It'll be good. Whatever it is. Actually, I have some stuff that I'll talk about next that will be complete by next Tuesday. So we're probably going to be able to talk about some of that stuff.
Okay.
So it'll be probably just talking about some of our projects that I have coming up that we'll talk about in a second. And
awesome.
So we'll post as I have more information. For the next week's show.
No, that'll be good, because I think during the, I know we had talked about me calling in, but actually Casey and I have a tattoo appointment at that time, so I don't think people want to hear me screaming because it hurts.
Well, and I just enjoy your week.
Yeah, no,
you know,
yeah,
it's like take a week off. I'll hold down the fort.
Yeah,
we've got tons of awesome listeners. They can hook up in the chat room and chat with us, and we'll have a grand old time. So
that's right. You guys will do good.
It'll be pretty good.
So you know what? It's already half past the hour. Should we go to break?
Let's do it.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes on the Para X Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para X Radio Network.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Get lost with us.
Oh, hey Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi. Oh, hey Steph.
Hey,
what has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para X.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Gathering on the Para X Network. And it's another Tuesday night fun
Tuesday
fest. Not Wednesday, like Stephanie thought earlier tonight. So yeah. We've been talking about what we've been working on or what we have coming up. Yeah. And I'm excited to hear what happens on your trip.
Yeah, me too. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And while you're gone, I have some things that I'm going to be working on. This weekend is actually pretty full. Friday is a home clearing. Mm. And it's weird. Not weird. Why do I ever say anything's weird? Like, nothing is weird to me anymore. Because it's the weirder, more normal it is, it seems like, in my world. But I've been getting a large number of people asking for me to do home clearings for homes that are for sale.
Yes.
It just, because I've done for sale homes forever. For as long as I've been doing home clearings, I've been doing homes that are for sale. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's a big number of, like they're coming in like all the time. People are asking like, you do home clearings for, like, can realtors call you and get you, you know, the homeowner or whatever. Yeah, of course. And so it just seems like there's a large number. So I don't know, and I don't know if anybody's out there as a realtor or not, but, you know, if you have any insight into this, I'm curious because I ask one person and then I ask another, and, you know, it seems like everybody that's asking me, this isn't something that they do all the time.
Yeah.
So it's these one-off realtors, like this one is asking, hey, you know, do you do that? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, if they've had it done before, they know who to talk to, and they've done it before, and they wouldn't have, you know.
Yeah.
So I just think it's interesting that all these individual realtors are coming going, do you do home clearings for homes that are for sale? Yes, I do. And even back in February when I was working an event, I had people coming up to my table, every one of them realtor, you do home clearings for business or for homes on sale? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that's ramping up again.
Yeah.
And I know that we've got a lot of crazy energy going on right now in the universe, so it could be that. I don't know, and I don't know anything about that, so don't ask me. Anything to do with astrology, I don't know, but I know that there's a bunch going on.
There is, for sure. You can feel it in the air. But I think people are becoming more aware, too, don't you think?
I think so.
And for sure, if you buy a house, oh my God, that would be the first thing I would do before I ever stepped in the door after I bought it. You know what I mean? You just, you got to do it. Get rid of the old energy, even if there's no spirits in there. Just get rid of the old stuff and get the new stuff in there and make it nice, you know, whatever. It's well worth, you know, the time and trouble. So that's fun. And then you have an investigation or something going on too?
Yep. Well, the home clearing.
Oh, yeah.
Finish on that one. No, that's okay. So it's interesting because this homeowner, this is where I think it's really odd because, and I think, I don't know if it's like this all over the country, but it's definitely a seller's market right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sellers dictate what happens. They set the price and they set the timeline. So I think it's really odd that a seller is wanting a home clearing.
Yeah, that is odd that a seller because would
want that. But it's just the property's not moving and strange things are happening. And there's no reason it shouldn't be moving.
Yes.
And nobody lives there right now. They've moved out. And so it's an empty home. And what she was telling me is when she comes, when she goes over there, I don't know if it's to check in, make sure it looks good, clean, you know, because even an empty home with no one there, there's still dust and stuff that settles. Yeah, so you still have to clean. So I don't know why she's going over there, but she goes over there and she brings her dog. And her dog is very high energy, very outgoing, very run around kind of dog. And lived there, you know, when they lived there. So the dog's familiar with the property.
Yeah.
And she's gone over there a couple of times now, and the dog won't go in.
Oh.
No, won't go into the house. At first would go in, but then would automatically, you know, kind of how they hunch up when they're like afraid.
Yes.
And they kind of get that hunched up and their tail drops down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And tucks in between the legs and then they just kind of hunch around. So that's what her dog was doing, hunching around and then went for the door and just stood there all hunched up looking at her like, are you going to open this lady or what's the deal? Like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And so that led to, I'm not even getting out of the car to go in, which is totally odd behavior for the animal. So I thought that was interesting. And doing a remote view prior to talking to the homeowner, you know, she had just sent me some information. She didn't tell me where it was. She didn't tell me anything and just said, hey, I'm thinking of, I might need a home clearing, I'm trying to sell my house. Things aren't going well. Yeah. Can you help me? And so just off of that, I did a remote view and I asked him to do one as well and we'll compare notes. And we both, you know, saw a couple of spirits there. And they are not going to tell us. And I'm like, well, why not? And they want us to go there. And so it almost feels like they're dictating this instead of us. And it's not that we're not dictating and we're doing what we need to do, but they have told us, we'll tell you when you come here.
They want you to come.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. It'll be interesting. I can't wait to hear what you find.
Yeah. And so I'm excited to go just because, it's, you know, there's obviously a couple of spirits there. And she didn't tell me about the dog until after I talked to her, which I had already told her what we got in the remote view before I knew anything about this dog thing happening. Mm-hmm. So it totally validates what this dog is going through because the dog is sensing things that the people can't sense. And, I mean, she had some interesting experiences and, you know, things happening with the house when she bought it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we get there and what the story is, because it feels like they need to tell us the story. The spirits.
Is it an old house or a new house? Or it doesn't really matter, but...
No, I don't think it's that old, though. Yeah. And I think there hasn't been many owners. And anyway, I'm excited to hear what they have to tell us.
Yeah,
because
I can't wait.
I can imagine them standing there with their arms crossed going, no, if you want to know, you come to me. I'm not going to tell you because I am coming to you. And they said, no, you have to come here. Like I went there energetically. Yes. They want me to come there physically.
Yes. That's interesting. That is really interesting, Heidi. That is cool.
So I'm excited to go. So we're going to go on Friday and during the day we'll do that and we'll see what happens. I think it'll be fine. I don't expect anything crazy and wild. You know, it doesn't seem like it's one of those. It just seems like one of the clearings that they have something to tell.
Yeah.
And once we get there, we'll figure it out. We'll get some more ideas. So that I found, I'm kind of interested in that. I think that'll be cool. And then Saturday, yes, we have an investigation. And I can't give a lot of information about it because it's like we have permission and then we don't have permission. Mm-hmm. We have permission by people that have the keys to let us in. And then there's more people involved that would probably not be okay with an investigation. So the people with the keys are saying yes to the investigation.
Well, if they have the keys.
Yes, they do have the keys. So I'm excited to go to that on Saturday. It's going to be a little challenging because the people with the keys also don't want to be out late. We wanted to start later because it's summer, you know, and we wanted to get a, for those of you
it's
that.
It's light till like 10 o'clock at night now, you know, so.
I know, right?
So what time are you going?
We'll be there at 7.
Oh, geez.
I know. Well. So I'm like, well, okay, I guess, but, and which is fine because at least we're getting in there.
Right.
And, but it's kind of funny because anyone that's listening that's a paranormal investigator, do you have to investigate at night? We just talked about this with your thing. You don't have to investigate at night. But the reason most people think we have to investigate at night is because that's when it's active.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Yeah.
A lot of the reasons that we investigate at night is because you don't have a lot of interference with people, lights, noises, because things start to die down and quiet down. You know, it's hard when you're dealing with lights and sunlight and, you know, computers and whatever, because those can all interfere with digital media and or any kind of audio or video media. And so it's when it's dark and it's quiet and people are asleep and there's less going on, it's a little nicer. It's a little easier. You know, you don't have as much interference and cross-contamination.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's nice because you don't, and when it's dark too, you don't have all the visual
interference.
Everything kind of looks, you don't have colors and separation. It's just, everything kind of looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so when something is standing out, it's really standing out, you know, it's really, you'll notice it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Anyway, so we'll, I'm sure it'll still be good and I'm sure we'll get something,
Oh, yeah, for sure. So that'll be fun. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So that's what we have on Saturday. So by next Tuesday,
you'll have a lot to talk about.
I'll have these in the bag, and then I'll be able to talk about them on the show and let you guys know whatever we find. And if I get any kind of evidence or anything that I, because usually when we do home clearance, we'll record audio and stuff.
Oh, yeah, we do too, because you never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, you never know if someone's going to fling out some last parting words before they get whooshed out the door. And so if we have anything that's of interest, I can send it ahead of time so we can play it for the, the show.
That would be good.
And so that's what we have coming up. And then one of the other things that I just wanted to talk about briefly with our some of our last bit of time here is another thing that has been coming up. And I know I talked about this a little while ago on the show. Was this run of Ouija boards.
Oh, yeah, you were saying that.
That have been coming in. And it's awesome because I have it on my website. Those of you that haven't been on my website before, I have a little page that is a drop-down, and it says Ouija boards. And I don't know if I put something else with it now, but I know it says Ouija boards and maybe something else. And so I know when people see that, they're going to go to it because they're like, what is she selling Ouija boards? What is she doing with Ouija boards?
Yeah.
No, I'm not selling Ouija boards. I won't sell Ouija boards because I think they're ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
And people, you know, I've taken a lot of them, shut them down, and some of them I've had to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done enough of them that I, you know, tell people, hey, if you have one that you don't know what to do with, and you need it out of your house or to get rid of it or whatever, you can send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to pay me to close it. I'll take care of it. Just send it to me. So that might cost some money to ship it, but, you know, I'll do it for free. You know, I'll get rid of it or do whatever I need to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can save them, I will, because I also like to use them as...
props.
Well, props, but and or teaching items.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because I'll have my Halloween open house, and there's one of them that I do have there every year, and it's really dangerous. Like, I mean, I have it behind glass, and I have part of it covered up so that you can't take pictures of it. And it's really, really, really dangerous. But I have the story available, too, so people can understand how dangerous these things can be. And so if I can close it and save it, I will. You know, and I've had a couple of people recently that have contacted me with, it sounds like, pretty interesting boards. Yeah. And so I'm just waiting to get these. Because sometimes people say that they're going to send stuff and then they don't.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, come on.
I just want it. Yeah.
And I also throw in there, I'm like, well, if you have anything that you need to get rid of, just send it to me and I'll take care of it. Because I know you did it that one time with that little owl box.
Oh, yeah. Heidi gets my stuff, man, if I have something I want.
That was the fastest I've ever gotten anything in the mail, ever.
I wouldn't even let it. It did sit here for more than 4 hours before it was out the door. Man, I didn't want it anywhere here.
Yeah, that was funny. So I'm happy to take stuff off people's hands and close it. And what's interesting, though, is because people ask me, like, how do you close a Ouija board? How do you? And I can't give an answer because there's no one way to do it.
I was going to say it's probably different every time.
It is, because it depends on what's going on with the board, what's been happening with it, who's used it, all those things. So, you know, and I've read, you know, because I'm like, well, how do other people close boards? And so it's out there, you know, you can look up how to close Ouija board, you can look at all it. And I'm like, well, and every time I read it, I'm like, well, that isn't right.
Yeah.
Or that is partly right, but then this might happen, so then you can't do that part. And then this might not happen, so then you can't do that, because this is what... Yeah. So it's really interesting to read, you know, how people put together a little step-by-step process of how to close a Ouija board, because it's ridiculous. Because there's no step-by-step process. Mm-hmm. I've had people try and close Ouija boards and destroy them, and they end up back in the house.
Oh.
And they don't know how it got back in the house. Like, they burned it, they broke it, they did this, that, and now it's back in the house and together.
Oh, good God.
So, it's like, well, if you follow the step-by-step Ouija instructions...
Ouija boards are scary, I think.
Well...
You know.
I don't think they're scary. I think that they're misused and misrepresented.
Yes, well, that's true.
So, I mean, a Ouija board is no different than our K2 meters.
It's true. That's true.
It's just they get a bad rap and they get misrepresented and they get treated like a toy. And they're not a toy.
No, they're not a toy. You know, you have to... Yeah. No, I get... Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's great that you do this, but I wouldn't want to touch them.
Well, and it's really interesting. I think I told you about the one that, this was a couple of years ago now, and I really kicked myself for not taking pictures, and I don't know why none of us thought about taking pictures, but I guess we weren't supposed to. But there was this one Ouija board that we had to close. It was actually starting to take over this young man's life to the point where he was suicidal.
Oh.
His grandfather had this board. And it had been passed down to the father, who never used it. But the grandfather had used it and had struggled.
Mm-hmm.
The father never really used it.
Mm-hmm.
The son found it and started using it. And he started using it by himself, which you're not supposed to do.
Right.
He did. And it was working for a while. And it was giving him all sorts of good stuff. You know, information, whatever. And then things started to go south, you know, he started to feel not good. He started to be, you know, have, just really depressed, I guess, you know, and, started to withdraw from people and was using the board more and more and more to figure out, well, why is this happening? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And, so then his mom found out about him using the board and didn't want him to use the board. And so she would hide it from him. But she also wouldn't let him get rid of it. Like, because he thought, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. You know, he started to put two and two together that this board and him are not supposed to be connected. So he tried to get rid of it. She wouldn't let him get rid of it. And she started hiding it. Yeah, she was hiding it from him and doing...
Like, so it was kind of controlling her, too.
She was some kind of weird guardian for it.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening is I said, well, you're... Because it just had a grip on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed it out of the house. And he couldn't get away from his mom. So he ended up swapping it. Like, I don't know. Someday I'm sure she'll look and find it and realize it's not in there. But I had to go get the board. And it was very clear through everybody that was involved in this case that only I was to touch the board. Oh. No. So when he gets it out of the house and transports it to our group that was handling this, it had to go straight to me, and I'm the only one that could handle it. And I thought, okay, that's really weird. And we checked with spirit guides, and everyone's like, yep, it's only Heidi. Mm-hmm. Only Heidi is allowed to touch this board. No one else is allowed to touch this board at all. Like, at all.
Oh.
Okay, so we drive way too far to go get this board, and we meet in a parking lot at a park. It was like totally black ops. This whole thing was crazy. So we meet in this parking lot. He gets it out of his trunk. It's in this plastic bag and hands it to me. And
well, I know this story. You've told me you've had it at your studio for Halloween too, right? Oh, but this is, I've heard the story.
This one I had to get rid of. Yep.
Okay.
So he hands it to me. I grab it and I put it in the trunk because we're going to take it back to the cities mm-hmm. to close it. Mm-hmm. And we get back in the car and I'm driving. And there's someone in the front seat, someone in the back. Tim, I think, was in the back. And I start driving, and all of a sudden, I mean, this was 30 seconds into driving. Put it in the trunk, get in the car, start driving, 30 seconds, right? And my hands start to tingle.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the heck? And I look at my hands, and it looked like I had suction cup marks all over the palms of my hands. Like my fingers and palms of my hands had these red rings of all different sizes all over the palms of my hands.
Oh my
It took 30 seconds and they were itchy.
Yeah.
Like really itchy. That tingling turned into just itching, like chicken pox kind of itch that just drives you nuts, right? So I'm looking at my hands and I thought, oh my goodness. And I showed the two guys, I'm like, look at my hands. I go, they are hurting, like itching. And they were both so glad that they didn't have to touch the board.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they're
right?
Like, oh my God, I know, look at my hands. These really defined red rings all over my hands in 30 seconds. And they were itchy and crazy. And so we went to this park, actually, to close the board. And I had to go through this whole big ritual. Someone entered my body to do part of the ritual.
Oh.
Like, I don't know who it was. Some bigwig had to step in and do some of it, I guess. And it was really crazy because once the actual closing of the board was happening, apparently there was some big flock of birds nearby, and they went whooshing up over where we were sitting in this park and hunched over doing this thing. These flock of birds just went whooshing up. It caused this whole big, like, cloud ruckus.
Oh, my.
Crazy. It was nuts. And, so we ended up, we got it closed. I got it destroyed. We disposed of it. And it took like 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
To get rid of those itchy red circles off of my polka dots on my hands mm-hmm. for 2 weeks mm-hmm. that itched like crazy.
That's crazy.
And they were all different sizes and it took less than 30 seconds to get
them.
That's
nuts. That's just nuts.
And I was like, okay, if I'm the only one that could touch it, why? Like, was it, if they would have touched it, would something worse have happened?
Well, that's what I was just wondering, too. Would they have, like, you know, who knows what, but.
Or they could have had those itchy spots, like,
all over their bodies. Yeah,
like,
it would have been twice as
just,
bad.
Yeah, maybe it just ended at the palms of my hands.
Right,
like, something
right.
kept me from getting further.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So. That's what happens sometimes when you do codes. And that kind of stuff has happened with other things. I use Ouija boards as an example.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff happens with just, I guess, haunted items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain, and not necessarily with the itchy red circles and stuff. But,
right.
You know, as we're working with items that are haunted or have some kind of attachment or whatever, we have to be really careful.
Yes.
There's a doll you've probably seen at my studio that the owner is still attached. And if she has too much interaction, like if you, because some people like dolls. Now, I know not everybody does. Some people like them. And they'll talk to them.
Yeah.
They're a little doll. Like, hey, little doll, how you doing? You know, look at how we had that little Sasquatch at our table. And we were talking a little Sasquatch. So we were having a good time, a little Sasquatch. Well, this one, you can't do that. Because if you give her too much attention, it starts to pull through that former owner.
Sure.
And she's not, she can cause a ruckus.
Oh, my.
And if she can get too far into my studio, which is where I keep a lot of the stuff now, she'll mess around in there. And I don't want her energy messing around, of course. So I'm not going to. So it's like, okay, so I have to have a sign, like, don't talk to her. Don't look at her. Don't interact with her, you know, because she's got some attachment. I have the twins.
Oh, yeah. The twins are crazy.
They're nuts. The one tried to get away.
I know. These dolls, I'm telling you. Oof.
So, you know, but there's, you know, you handle them in a certain way that they, then I can keep them around. But you have to be, so it, but I can't treat one like the other. So, again, going back to this whole Ouija board thing, yeah. It's interesting
they're all unique.
It's all different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say, well, this is how it's going to be mm-hmm. each time. You do it like this, 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 and then it's a safe thing. Mm-hmm. Or then you just throw it away and it's no problem.
Yeah.
It's, you just have to deal with it. Yeah. And some of these, I'm so fascinated with the energy of it that, like, the twins,
yeah.
I'm not going to end it. You know, yeah. I could take the twins and shut it all down and be done with it, but it's like, but this energy, where did it come from?
Yeah.
Like, how is it possible that this is happening? And is it for me to end it, or should I let it continue as long as everybody's safe?
Yes.
And let it be there for people to learn that this is possible.
Yes.
You know,
a learning tool kind of thing. Well, those twins are crazy because didn't you say one was missing and she ended up in your trunk? All of a sudden she was there?
She was in the back seat.
Or the back seat. Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't find her for 2 days.
Yeah. And there she was, popped up in your back seat. Oh, for God's sakes. I'd be so creeped out. Can I just say? Oofta.
And what I don't know, here's the interesting part of that, because I had the one, and I told the universe, I said, here's the deal. I know you're out there, twin, wherever you are. You might want to try to find your way back, because you know I've got your sister over here.
Yeah.
I said, so you might think about coming back. And then I found her in the back seat. So what if she had gone further?
Yes.
And then somehow hooked it back, right?
It just gives me the willy jillies, you know? I'm just... Yeah.
So that's the stuff that I find fascinating. So anytime someone says to me, hey, can you take this off my hands? Yes. Yes. And someday I'll do it. Send it. I'll come pick it up if I can. Doesn't matter. Please. Because someday I'm going to have a space big enough that this stuff can be on display all the time. Mm-hmm. Not just once a year for my Halloween open house. Because I love the stories behind this stuff. Yeah. And as long as I can make sure that it stays safe and that nobody's going to get hurt and whatever, I think it's really interesting.
Well, it is. I mean, it's amazing. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Mm.
So now these Ouija boards, actually I have two at the studio I've got to close. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But hopefully if I can get it done, I should be able to get it done by Tuesday. So maybe I can add that to my mix. Now,
so what do you do with them after you close them?
It depends on what's happening with the closing. So some of them I destroy, and then some of them I might keep around and use them for display and teaching moments and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on how do you dispose of them. It depends on that too.
Yeah.
Some people say you do this and this and this. Like, oh, come on. You can't do it the same way every time because it's different.
Yeah.
So some of them, I can just toss them into a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you just, there it goes in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Done. Some of them, when they say burn them, I don't like doing that. Because if you didn't close it right, you got nothing to close now. You just, anyway, not a fan of the burning thing. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
So, some of them I dispose of, some of them I keep. And if I could get some really cool looking ones.
You have some really cool looking ones.
I know.
You have some really interesting
ones.
If I
can get any ones that I can get, if I can display them, I would rather do that than throw them away.
Yeah.
Or dispose of them because some of them are just cool.
You have some really cool. Yeah, you do for sure. So awesome. So, wow, goodness. Creepy doll stories, I'm telling you. I don't like dolls. You know, and I know when we came over for your Halloween thing and Casey wouldn't even go in that room. And I had to go in there, but I'm like, ooh, you know, whatever. Creep me out.
Yeah, they're good. I love it.
I know. Well, I think it's, you know, I hear our music, you know, it's Sarge's way of telling us, hey, ladies, it's time for you to
wrap it up.
Wrap it up, yeah. So, well, interesting subject matter tonight. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Heidi will be holding down the fort next week while I am off vacationing on San Juan Island in Washington. I'll be with the whales.
Yes. I'll hold down the fort.
Yes.
And thank you everybody for listening and joining the chat room tonight. And thanks to Para X for hosting us and for Sarge for being our best producer ever.
Absolutely.
And we will see you all next week on Tuesday for the gathering.
Tuesday. And have a great week, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Night.